Hey, this is Melanie from Stories and Songs Writing the Lyrics. In today's episode, we continue with steps 2 and 3 to creating a one-sentence lyric outline to guide your writing process. If you haven't listened to episode 38 yet, where we talked about the character's literal action, please go back to that episode and listen to it. It's vital if you want to move forward with me in this episode. I will include a short recap, but listen to the full episode if you haven't yet. So let's start with the show to create that one sweet sentence that will help guide our writing process. So the big question is this: how do singer-songwriters who want to keep writing their own lyrics and stay true to who they are without taking on an image the industry wants them to, and who believe their songs have a greater purpose, how do they write lyrics in a way to help them stand out from the crowd, yet still reach a larger audience and get skyrocketing sales? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Melanie Naumann, and welcome to the Stories and Songs podcast. As you know, in episode 38, we talked about the first step that will lead us to creating our compass point for our lyric writing process. But before we continue with step 2 and 3 in today's episode, let's recap the overarching strategy so that you know where we are and where we are going. So in step 1, which we talked about in episode 38, we ask ourselves what the character or characters in our songs were literally doing. This step provided us with a clear picture to watch them act in our mind's eye. And the second step concerns the character's essential tactic. So we will talk about what they are trying to accomplish and how that dictates how they try to attain a goal state. So that's what we're going to talk about today, step 2. And we're also going to talk about step 3, when we look at what changes from the beginning of our lyrics to their end. And we will assign valences to that shift to be very clear if the lyric's narrative moved from a positive place to a negative one or vice versa. And at the end of this episode, we will have those 3 steps laid out in front of us. And then we will combine them into one sweet sentence that will guide our lyric writing from start to finish. And we do that so that we are able to formulate our compass point that will affect our writing and every decision we make, so that we are able to communicate what we have to say in a way that will matter to our audience. So keep in mind that each step relates to the one before, and all 3 steps lead up to the lyric's big takeaway that we are going to wrap in one sweet sentence, which will guide our writing process. And each of those 3 steps serves as one aspect of how we look at our lyric's narrative. So please remember this as we go through the steps. One feeds into the next, and they all come together and they are all connected, so that we can form our lyrics message. Okay, now let's move on to a short recap of the first step that we talked about in episode 38. And that first step to creating our guiding point when we write our lyrics, we focused on the literal action. So that's what we can see the characters doing in our minds, their actions or their words. But we also take into account the number of characters present in the lyric's narrative and their literal actions. And in that sense, we also want to pay attention to the surroundings to show if it's a stable or threatening environment to our lyric's characters. Remember, we talked about Another Day in Paradise or Welcome to the Jungle, where the environment that is surrounding the song's character feels threatening to us. In Another Day in Paradise, it was cold outside. So it's like when you're living on the street, that's a very threatening environment for you. And in Welcome to the Jungle, it was just so much that suddenly surrounds the character that they are not used to. Remember, they're fish out of the water there. And that we also perceive the environment as threatening. So the environment is also something, as well as the number of characters and literal action of the character itself, that's something that we're going to pay attention to when we talk about literal action. And all of those 3 things are going to give us the answer to this first step. And that step is important because what the characters literally do ties back to the problem we want to shed light on. So that refers to what we want to accomplish with our lyrics. So with that in mind, we need to be clear about what activity or activities we want to show to let our audience see how our characters tackle that problem. And in doing so, we only want to show the relevant actions to the problem. Remember, as we said in episode 36, focusing on the problem helps us decide what's relevant and what's not. So just by being clear about this first step and listing the character's literal action, the cast size, and picturing the environment, we can create a really compelling and exciting moment for our listeners. And in episode 38, we also specifically looked at the song I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. And as a reminder, here's the first section of it again. She sings, "At first, I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I had known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? You think I'd crumble? You think I'd lay down and die? Oh no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to live, I know I stay alive. I've got all my life to live, and I've got all my love to give, and I'll survive. I will survive." So when it comes to the literal action, we talked about that ex-boyfriend, right? We said he's living on a power hierarchy, which means he literally invaded her space, and he thinks that little chained-up person would come back to him. So he thinks he has still power over her, okay? And on the other hand, we had this strong woman who went through their breakup and she grew stronger. She's living on the growth hierarchy because she has evolved as a person. She has become more mature and she knows what she's worth and she has gained more meaning because she knows now what's meaningful and that's her life and what love is supposed to truly mean. And let's talk about the cast of characters. We have those two characters present in the scene, and when we have two characters, they always need to be in direct conflict. If they would have the same goal, the song would be boring because there would be no argument, no conflict, nothing that really interests us. But when you have two characters, and especially when you use direct address, put those characters in conflict. Even if it's a love couple and they're in love, there could still be something standing between them. And the environment in that song, "And I Will Survive," it is stable. Because the conflict arises not from the environment, but from the man who invaded her space. Because her home, that's a safe place for her. And that guy is the problem she is confronted with. So by seeing him again, it's like a test. If she can live up to her words or if she falls back into his arms. And her literal actions show how she has changed. She walks into her home, finds him there, and she throws him back out. Oh, it's so great. And that's the beauty of this song. She's not just saying she's over him, but her literal action shows us how far she's come. So she shows us with her actions that she will not fall for a guy like that again. And now that we know where we left off last time, let's move on to the second step. So the second step moves from what we can literally observe the characters do. It moves into the internal state of mind. Now it's all about why are they acting the way they do. So we think about things from our characters' perspectives. Okay, it's not that we are the camera anymore that looks into their life and watches them, but now we think about things from their perspectives. We think about what they want to accomplish, what they are thinking, and what their goal state is. So when we look back at our example of "I Will Survive" by Gloria Gaynor, she wants to get rid of that guy, or that character in the song wants to get rid of that guy, okay? She wants him gone and not to bother her anymore. She wants to achieve this because she thinks, "You have hurt me. You are the one to break up with me and break my heart. And I had to go through shit all by myself. And now you expect me to come crawling back to you? After all you did to me? piss off. I know what I'm worth, and I will find someone who truly loves me. I will survive. And what our character thinks and wants, their goal, and how they perceive the world around them, that all decides how they will act to accomplish what they want. So their actions will be an expression of their essential tactic. So the essential tactic is what the characters are doing because of what they want and because of the way they see the world. Okay? So keep this in mind. The essential tactic is what the characters are doing because of what they want and because of the way they see the world. In I Will Survive, the character throws out her ex-boyfriend because she wants true love and because she has reached the understanding that she's worth much more than how her ex made her feel. So her essential tactic boils down to wanting to get rid of him. But let's name some more song examples to talk about the essential tactic. Now, as you know, we have talked about the song Another Day in Paradise. And here, the woman's essential tactic is seeking help from strangers. And the passerby's tactic in that song is not to raise any tension, so he avoids any confrontation with that woman. And in Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, the song's main character wants to prove she's lying. And in Stan by Eminem, the fan's essential tactic is seeking recognition from his idol. In I Do Anything for Love by Meat Loaf, the character's essential tactic is winning her over. And in Boulevard of Broken Dreams, the character wants to be found by someone. So you can see in all of these examples that the key to expressing the character's essential tactic is by using a transitive verb. And a transitive verb is a verb that requires an object. So that means, for example, you can shout, you can walk, and we can talk, and that's it. Those are not transitive verbs. But when we say, he is looking, it opens the question, for what? So looking is a transitive verb that requires an object. And that object that belongs to that grammatical structure is the song's character's goal or their object of desire. So that's what they want. And that's what you put after that transitive verb. That's the object that we need to put there. For example, someone is seeking the truth, wanting someone to love them, getting to the point, trying to get rid of someone, offering a position, empowering someone, trying to impress someone, praising someone. So we take our verb and link it directly to that grammatical object, which is the character's object of desire or their goal or what they want. And that goal, that object, is closely tied to how they see the world. Because remember, the essential tactic is what the characters are doing, expressed as a transitive verb with an object, because of what they want, that's the object, and because of the way how they see the world. So let's talk a little about the purpose of essential tactics. Essential tactics are the key to creating conflict in our lyrics. These transitive verb phrases express what characters are trying to accomplish to reach their goals because of how they see the world, themselves, and their situation. So if you are unsure what the essential tactic is for the song you're working on, look at your inciting incident. This unexpected event upsets the balance in the character's environment and gives them a goal. And then the character uses a particular tactic to try to reach their goal. And that's their essential tactic. In I Will Survive, the inciting incident was the relationship breakup. That event threw the character's life out of balance. Okay? Everything changed. She didn't know how to get along with that new situation. So basically, she was a fish out of the water in that initial state. And the song I Will Survive also starts right with that moment when she sings, "At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side." So the character's goal is to make it through this time and survive the heartbreak. That is her goal. And she gets tested as her ex-boyfriend shows up again. And that's a turning point because she didn't expect him to show up and bother her again. And now it's not about the talk, but about walking the walk. She actually has to show that she's strong enough to survive without that guy. And her initial goal, surviving without that guy, turns into a goal that belongs to that global goal state. It is getting rid of him. So when we look at that second step, the essential tactic refers to the essence of our song's character or characters. And we need to know the essential tactic to ensure they act consistently from our lyrics beginning to their end, and that they're always pursuing the same object of desire, the same want, have the same goal, or something along those lines. So we want to ensure we have a clear sense of what each character is thinking and how that relates to their goal state. Of course, if unsure about what the character wants, you can always refer back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because there you find the universal human needs of human beings, their wants and their needs. And that's always a great place to look where your conflict between characters can arise from. Okay, and it also helps you to find character goals that people can identify with, because every human being experiences or has those needs or wants, at least up to a certain level. So when we talk about essential tactic and literal action, the literal action is the expression or what we can watch of what the characters are essentially trying to achieve. Okay? That's the big difference between those two things. The woman in Another Day in Paradise, she's calling out to the man on the street. That's her literal action, because her essential tactic is seeking help from strangers. Okay, and in I Will Survive, the character's literal action was coming home and throwing out that guy. And her essential tactic was getting rid of that guy. Not only from her home, but also from her life. Well, look at Stand by Eminem. I just want to name that again so that you clearly can see the difference between literal action and essential tactic. In Stand by Eminem, the literal action of the fan was writing letters to his idol. That's what we were able to watch him doing. But his essential tactic, so that means why he was doing that, it was because he was seeking recognition from his idol. That's what he wanted. And he did that because of the way how he saw the world. He thought that he deserves that recognition. So that's why he's writing those letters in the first place, because it all comes back to his essential tactic. So now, in the last step, that's step three, we compare the initial situation of our song's character with the result or how it all turned out for them. And we do that neither from the audience's perspective or the camera viewpoint we had in step one, nor from the character's perspective from step two. Now it's all about you as the songwriter or your fictional hired narrator, and the question of what you or the narrator tried to accomplish with that lyric. It's all about the meaning of it all. Or think about what the singer wants to communicate to the audience. What's the big purpose of it all? And we can do that by being clear about what state or condition our song's character is in at the beginning and at the end of the song's narrative. And we want to make sure there's a change recognizable between the beginning and the ending. And it must be a change that matters, and a change that relates to a universal human value. Now, if you need to know more about universal human values, listen to episode 23 of the Stories and Songs podcast to find out more about universal human values. As always, links included in the show notes. So again, we have to look at our lyrics, narrative, beginning and end, compare them, and take note of what has changed. And the change must matter and relate to a universal human value. In I Will Survive, the character's initial state was feeling afraid and petrified. The character was kind of paralyzed by the breakup, which served as the inciting incident. The problem was how to deal with overcoming a life-changing moment like this. And out of that inciting incident arose the character's goal. She wanted to survive heartbreak. And the songwriters were aware of all of those things And we can see clearly how they wrote with intention what they tried to bring across in that song. They wanted to show that in those moments when the ground is swept from our feet, we can actually grow stronger and even more confident because of the things that life throws at us. They wanted to show we have the power to deal with those moments, just like the character in the song did. And they accomplished that by showing us the character's initial emotional state and mindset right after the breakup. Then they let us watch the character be confronted with her ex-boyfriend again, only to show us that this character is indeed capable of surviving without that guy. So the change is recognizable from dependent to independent. So the change is recognizable. And it's changed from the initial state of being dependent on that guy to feeling independent. And we want to find words that express that shift. And we also do want to assign valences to that change so that we know if the movement from one state to another was positive or negative in the context of human value. In I Will Survive, the valence is from negative to positive. So we can say that in the context of the universal human value of love and that character's situation, being dependent on someone has a negative valence, while reaching independence is something positive. Now, when we look at song lyrics and that change and its valence, we specifically look at the problem the song's character dealt with. Did they solve it in a helpful way for the audience, or did they fail in doing so? Did they reach their object of desire? Did they get what they wanted? And are those things really what they needed? Those things will help us see if the lyric ended with a prescriptive, a positive takeaway, or a negative one, a cautionary one. When you have narratives like I Will Survive with two characters in conflict with each other, you can also look at who wins the scene or who wins at the lyric's end or at the lyric's narrative's end. For example, in one-on-one lyric narratives with opposing sides, we have two sides against each other. So if you know each character's goal, they should conflict with each other and one gets what they want and the other one doesn't. So the woman got rid of the guy, but he didn't get her back. So she won, right? And that's something in that context of how we presented the song and the woman's situation and her mindset. That's what we wanted to show to empower our audience. Okay, it's a prescriptive tale. It's something positive. And that takeaway that this is something positive, we can only perceive that because we have seen where she was coming from and how she has changed, where she is now. So it's better to have direct conflict with a clear winner and loser. Let's look at the song I Will Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf. The song's main character is trying to win her over. He's trying to convince her that he'll always be faithful to her. And she doubts him. Maybe she wants to protect herself from heartache. And even though we don't get a resolution of how it all turns out between the two of them, the main character believes his words so much that we believe him too. So we feel like he is speaking the truth and therefore winning the argument about their relationship. Because there's nothing left that we can set against his words. He has said it all. And with that strength and truth in his voice, we believe him. We feel like, yes, he would really do anything for love, for her love, and not screw around again. And in I'm a Believer by the Monkees, the character strongly doubts the existence of love. That's his initial state and what he experienced all through his life. But in the end, he believes in the existence of true love. So as a result, he won the love and defeated the love in the sense of being out to get him. Okay? He has changed. His perception of love has changed. So in a lyric with two characters present, the characters have an opportunity to display their conflicting interpretations of the global universal value. Someone will win at the end of the song's narrative. And the other person will lose. That means that someone will get what they set out to achieve, the other one will fail to get what they want. And in lyrics, it's also possible that If the conflict between the characters is not resolved, then the song might turn into a cautionary tale. At least if the character didn't manage to overcome their problem. And you can see this in Michael Jackson's song Billie Jean. The character almost desperately continues to deny that Billie Jean is not my lover. Billie Jean is not my lover. That kid is not my son. But we don't know if someone will start believing him. Because he experienced the same doubt. He said, "Then showed a photo. My baby cried. His eyes were like mine. Oh no." That's a doubt the character experiences in the song. And with that, we can't believe what he's saying, even though he says it until the end of the song. Billie Jean is not my lover. Really? We are not sure of this. And because we don't have that resolution, who's speaking the truth and who does not, this song turns into a cautionary tale. And that was the whole intention of that song. It's what the mother told him, because his mother said, "Be careful of who you love and be careful of what you do, because the lie becomes the truth." And that's exactly what happened to him in this song. And because the lie and the truth, they just become one thing, and we don't know, like, it's not black and white anymore. It's just some grayish thing, and we can't tell who's right and who's wrong. So that's the whole intention of that song. It's done really, really good. Now, of course, conflict can also arise from different situations, such as one-on-one confrontations. Nonetheless, it's always important to consider how the situation changed from the lyrics narrative from beginning to end. So when you do this third step to figure out what it all means and if it's going to be a positive or negative shift, keep in mind the result you want to show. That's the ending value of the lyrics narrative. And that will decide if it was a positive, empowering lyric, if it was a prescriptive tale you told, or a cautionary one. Lastly, let's bring all our three steps together to find out how those three steps in their combination can turn into a compass point to guide our writing process, because that's what we have come for and that's what we're gonna get now. So when we talk about this one sweet sentence that can serve as our compass point, think of it like our lyrics controlling idea for our writing process. A controlling idea boils down to a one-sentence outline of your lyrics narrative. This controlling idea or concept should guide every word, line, or section that you write. So, in our writing process, that controlling idea guides us by reminding us what point we try to make in our lyrics. And to have that controlling idea like our light in the dark, we want to combine the character's literal action, essential tactic, the universal human value, and what changes in one sweet sentence. And this way, we can see if everything fits nicely together and makes sense. So let's just do that for some song examples to really put this to practice. Now let's look at "I Will Survive." Here we get the following guiding controlling idea for our writing process. We could say, when we sit down and want to write those lyrics, we could say, "Woman refuses ex-boyfriend's attempt to rekindle their love by throwing him out of her home because she is no longer dependent on him." So in that sense, we have the character's essential tactic. The woman refuses his attempt. And we have the universal human value, which is love. And we also have the literal action, which is throwing him out. And the value shift is by saying she is no longer dependent on him. Now, if you want to hear all of this again or read the examples yourself, go to the show notes and click on the website link. I have the whole transcript for you there. And you can also download the transcript as a PDF. It's all there when you click on the website link. Now, in the song "Another Day in Paradise," the controlling idea for our writing process is something like this. "Homeless woman seeks shelter for safety by calling out to passerbys until someone notices her and pays attention to her troubles." And someone does. Yes, someone does. Look at the first verse. In the first verse, we have the man passing by. Okay, he pretends not to see her. In the second verse, we move closer to the woman because now it's said we can see that she's been crying. And finally, in the last verse, we can see the lines on her face. So someone has indeed stopped to pay attention to her. And it's beautifully done, right? Because we move closer to that woman. It's revealed more and more about her appearance. So we get the feeling someone comes closer and someone pays attention. And that's, yeah, it's just beautifully done. Or look at the song, I'm a Believer. Here, the controlling idea for the writing process could sound like this. A man struggling to find love talks about how love failed him until his life gets turned upside down by meeting the one. In Eye of the Tiger by Survivor, we have Street Fighter keeps following his passion by continuing to fight while he's already been rewarded for his efforts. In the song Welcome to the Black Parade, we have Son of a Leader tries to follow his father's footsteps to lead his peers by playing someone he's not, until the acceptance of his own vulnerabilities turns him into the leader his father wanted him to be. In Billie Jean, the controlling idea could sound like this. Billie Jean exploits a man's status by claiming the man to be her child's father while bringing her truth to public attention. In Stan by Eminem, we have Fan seeks recognition from his idol by writing letters to him and turns suicidal. In I'd Do Anything for Love, we have Man tries to secure his love by promising to do everything for love while bound to being faithful. All right, those were just a few examples of what that controlling idea for your writing process could sound like. Most importantly, whether you take the time to write it out or not, when you sit down to write your lyrics, think about the three steps we've discussed in this episode. That means ask yourself what you want your audience to see in your lyrics. What's happening? What are the literal actions of the characters? Also, be clear of the cast size and how stable or threatening their environment is. You can also do that by thinking about, are they a fish out of the water? Or are they the protector of the pond or when a stranger comes to town? Okay? And they are in their known environment. And we have talked about fish out of the water or stranger comes to town in episode 36. So if you needed to catch up on, listen to episode 36. And now, once you can see the character's movement through the created setting, which means giving your audience the answer to the question of who, what, where, and when, ask yourself why your characters are behaving the way they do. Why do they act the way they do? What's their intention? What's their essential tactic to reach their goal? Okay, what's the tactic they see as viable to reach their goal? And lastly, how does the situation or mindset of your song's character change from the beginning of the narrative to its end? And assign valences to it to know if the shift was positive or negative. Okay, so that we can say that was a cautionary or prescriptive tale. And lastly, you can combine those answers into one sweet sentence that can guide your writing process. And I have also prepared a worksheet for you, which can accompany you to go through all of those steps and create that sweet sentence outline or compass point that will guide your writing process. So if you want to have that worksheet, go to resources.storiesandsongs.com and you can get free access to my free library of helpful resources. The worksheet for this episode will be included there. So go to resources.storiesandsongs.com. Now, if you're enjoying the show, it's safe to assume others as you would also enjoy it. Help them find it. So please rate and review the show on your favorite podcasting platform. Those people will appreciate it and you will feel great about yourself. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening and I see you next time. Bye-bye.